each of the men as they came again this morning, just showing that they have a concern for those behind. We just thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you for that burden that they have on their hearts and for being here again and just encouragement. We just pray for Jason this morning as he shares, that you can just give him a clarity of thought and words to speak here this morning. And we just pray for each one in their small groups, that there can be things shared that can be glorifying to you and furthering your kingdom. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brunel. Well, perhaps adoption doesn't seem like a topic that covers a wide span of people here, but I think it's maybe bigger than what we realize. And one of the things that we need to realize, and that is God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. So if you don't think adoption is important, you're a child of God because he has adopted you through Jesus. Okay, so adoption is very important. How many, I don't want to make it uncomfortable for you, but maybe I'll start out this way. How many have adopted children? Would you stand if you have adopted children? Okay, all right, three. Okay, keep standing. Keep standing. I want you to keep standing. How many? Yeah, you'll be all right. Okay. How many here are adopted? Would you stand? Okay. And I know there's, yeah, okay. How many of you have close family that have adopted children? Right, stand. Now, look around, brothers. You think this isn't something that impacts us? It really is. Thank you. So, you see, that covers a pretty broad spectrum of our people. So, let's look at it, okay? So, think about what you would like to say about adoption at the end, because what we'll do is we'll have a roving mic before small group. I don't know who that is. Okay. Somebody I don't recognize, okay? Yeah, man, that was 1970. Isn't that amazing? 53 years ago, right? What's that? That's about right. And there's two little children that came into our lives. Jaron on the left there, we adopted him when he was 10 weeks old. Shortly after we were married, Grace had an ovarian abscess that the doctors did not handle well. And they didn't diagnose it well, and she was in the hospital for a week. They sent her home, and then it burst, and she was one very, very sick girl. I was afraid I was going to lose her. Then she went back in the hospital, and they didn't know that it burst, and so she sat there in the hospital, full of pus, and it just caused peritonitis, and she got very, very sick. And so they loaded her up with antibiotics, and finally they cut her open and just mopped her out, you know. And so it just damaged her reproductive organs, so we could not have children of our own. Laura on the right, she became our daughter at 3.5 years old. You know, I don't even think of them as adopted. They're just my children. They're just mine. And that's later on in life. That was just taken last week. No, just oh my goodness, Jaron, it seemed like last week, okay? Jaron is in his, they're both my children are in their 40s now, okay? And we have five grandchildren. Our son gave us three daughters, and our daughter gave us two grandsons. And our daughter, both our grandsons, she married a young man who was our neighbor. Our land adjoined, and she used to ride go-kart with him. And then she married him. You know. Anyway, he's pretty tall. He's around 6 foot, and both our grandsons are over 6 foot tall. So I have a lot to look up to. And so now that's later on in life. Okay, life changes, and that's our daughter and son. Before you adopt, okay, I'd like to talk to you about adoption. And I wish I would have known some of these things back then, okay? And so I know I'm talking before you adopt, and many of you are, it's not in your plans, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people listening, and the teaching goes pretty far. But there's some things that we've processed and thought through, and I want you to also hear, I'm not an expert in adoption. You know, we didn't always have the right motives even, and we didn't know how to be parents. We really didn't. And so it's been a journey. It's one of the things that has motivated us to do Encourage Men, is because we just believed that there were missing links. I saw missing links in my life, and it's been a real blessing. This is the 14th year for Encourage Men. But before you adopt, make sure you're adopting for the right reasons. You know, you can adopt for the wrong reasons, okay? Make sure that you're dealing with your past redemptively. I put in here that you have dealt with. I don't think we ever quit dealing with our past redemptively. It's an ongoing journey. I'm still working on dealing with my past redemptively, and that's just going to be an ongoing journey. But make sure you're dealing with it redemptively. You don't want to bring children into a home where there's lots of hurt and pain, and that you're not working on it, or you're not seeing it, or admitting it, or looking at it. You're not looking to fill a love deficit in yourself. This is big, guys. Okay, men, women, if you're listening in. This is big. You're not looking to fill a love deficit in yourselves. I see that often is a motive of why people adopt, okay? And it's even why people have children, okay? Because especially even single women, it's known that they'll have a baby. Why? Because they long to be loved, and this little thing is going to be dependent on them, and they're needed, and they also will love unconditionally for a few years, right? Okay. So make sure you're not trying to fill a love deficit. Make sure you have love and nurture to give. Make sure you have love and nurture to give, because every child needs love and nurture. And make sure you have it to give. Make sure that you want to speak into and care for and give a foundation for children to grow up in a healthy way. You as a couple are in this together. I see this as a problem too. Oftentimes, you know, it was interesting. I think what motivated our adoption was mostly, you know, the barren womb cries, and we couldn't have children. And guess what? All the other 9 couples that got married the same year that we were, 8 of them were having babies. And we would go to get-togethers where all these other young couples were, and Grace would cry on the way home and cry herself to sleep. Why? Because she wanted a baby. Okay? And so I wasn't opposed to it. I wasn't opposed to it. But I have watched the pressure of that. And I've also seen some people that we know that he did not want to adopt. They even had biological children of their own. She wanted more, so they adopted more. And he was not on board with it. Well, guess what? If you're not on board with something, you have a hard time fathering a child that you weren't on board with. This is not okay. So couples, make sure that you're in this together, and you don't push ahead if one person's not on board. You believe God is leading you in this direction. If you don't believe that God really has created in you and your wife, or you as a couple, a home where a child can be nurtured and cared for, you don't want to bring a child into that home. Wrong reason to be a rescuer. Okay, you don't want to be a rescuer. I've watched this. You know, sometimes, especially in some of our conservative groups, we adopt children because we want to rescue them from the heathen. That's not a good reason to adopt. It is not. Because if you think you're a rescuer, you're going to create problems. The child will feel like a project instead of a son or a daughter, and it'll develop resentment. Boy, I see this. It's just interesting. Yesterday when I went to pick up the handouts, I was talking to a young man. And we were talking about this because he doesn't look like us. He's different colored. Okay. I brought a dear friend of mine, David Byler, along this morning, and Seth Holloway. David's adopted. You know? Back there's Joel, okay? And I'm just picking out the ones because my daughter, she doesn't look Hispanic, but she is, okay? So she's light, she's a very light skin. It's because the Puerto Rican married a blonde, blue-eyed German, and that produced my daughter. Well, that sort of created the atmosphere for the color, okay? But you know what? We don't choose that. Okay, and so we don't want, you don't want to try and rescue people. That's not the goal of adoption. Adoption is because you believe that you have something to give and care for and nurture a child. But here's what's interesting, and I haven't spent a lot of time talking to either Joe or David about this, but this man said even though he was not adopted, he is different colored. Okay, he's dark skinned. And it was so interesting because he says I even put it up here somewhere and it'll come up again, but he says, it's unbelievable what people will say to you. And I don't know if that's been your experience, but we'll look at some of that. Don't adopt because of environmental pressure. That happened in our group. Okay, we were one of the first ones to adopt, but after a while it became popular. And then some wanted to adopt just because others were adopting. And then it was the in thing to adopt black children. And I'm just being really blunt and open, but there was a family in our church that she wanted a black baby. Well, she got a black baby. And he became a good friend of mine. But he also wasn't cared for and loved like he needed to be. And so he became very rebellious and created so much heartache in their lives. See, the environmental pressure, that's not a good reason either. You're looking for validation. Oftentimes we don't feel good about ourselves. And so we already mentioned a little bit of that. We want a child to validate us or even validate our ability to be parents. It's so interesting why we do things, and our motives need to be examined. Or you want a perfect family. Well, if we adopt children, then we can have our perfect little family. I don't know. Any perfect families here? Perfect dads here. Okay. I thought there got to be some, right? But what if the child doesn't fit your mold? What if the child doesn't fit your mold? Jaron came into our lives at 10 weeks old. You know what? That was an easy experience for the most part. He was a normal child, but he was 10 weeks old. At 3.5-year-old, when our daughter came, she already had a lot of life experience. She remembers being handed a can of ravioli with a spoon in it or a fork, I don't know which, and told to eat in the closet. She remembered that. Now today she says it's sort of faded from memory, but she would tell us that when she came into our home. She also had a huge amount of RAD, reactionary attachment disorder. It took her several years before she could really say she feels like she's our daughter. We would go somewhere as a family, and she would actually say, "Am I staying here?" We went to the cabin as a family and other families. Well, who am I going home with? I'm just telling you. You see, and that lasted for years. That was painful. It was painful. And she had got to the place where discipline didn't do anything. She had hardened herself. She was so hard. Well, her mother brought her to the courthouse and turned her over to a caseworker who brought her to us. What do you think is going on in that little mind? That little heart, okay? Advice from adopted children. A lot of material, I ask adopted children and adopted parents. So some of this is just coming from them, okay? Be involved with foster care prior to adoption. Be involved with foster care prior to adoption. You want some experience. You want to know what's going on. And then you get a child into your home and you realize that this isn't maybe what I dreamed it would be. Okay, because they come from different environments, and then they're in your environment, and you have to work with this and deal with this. I want you to hear something. I am not negative. I'm very positive on adoption. Okay, maybe the teaching here will make you think I'm negative on adoption. I am not. I am positive on adoption. I just want to bless anybody who really wants to adopt. It's just that I've walked this journey and watched this and talked to the people, and my observations are just saying here, that let's look at some things, okay? Be involved with foster care. Take as many of their classes as possible to prepare you for parenting special needs children. There's a family that they have, I think they have 6 adopted children. A couple bio children, and I just admire them. I really admire them. Life's not been easy, but you know what? They have educated themselves. They have taken classes, they've looked at, and they've got involved with their children's stories. Okay? And so they really did learn how to deal with some of the needs that they ran into. Be aware of what's happening at school and at church. Oh my. You want to even do that with your biological children. You want to know what's going on at school and at church, but with adopted children, even more so. We had no clue that the other children at school were rejecting our son and daughter because they were adopted. And you know what? Our son and daughter talked about it among themselves. They were trying to protect us from knowing that. And only realized later, well, that created a huge amount of resentment. Okay, they didn't feel like they belonged or were included. Okay, and I guess they, part of that problem was is they sort of had a rebel as a dad who, well, I shouldn't say a rebel. I was just, even at church, when I was ordained, I started teaching stuff like you've been hearing for quite a while, and that doesn't always go down well. And I wish I could go back and redo some of that because maybe I created some of the atmosphere for the problems for the children because I could have maybe taught in a healthier, gentler way. But when I saw things that needed to be corrected, I was addressing them. But see, their dad wasn't always talked highly of in the community either. And that created problems. So part of that was me and my problems. You will have to deal with the emotional wounds of adoption. You will have to. I had originally put up their scars, but you know, a scar doesn't hurt anymore. It's an indicator, but you know, some of those wounds will keep on hurting. You will have to deal with the emotional wounds of adoption. They have a story, okay? Even if it doesn't look like there's wounds, these children have a past and that you are not part of, nor do you have full disclosure of. You just do not know what that child has experienced. Yeah. And I put be prepared and I crossed that out and I left it there and crossed it out because how can you be prepared? You do your best to be prepared, but be alert. And then the alertness should now say, I need some more help. I need to get some information. Be prepared or be alert to meet any need because any need can arise. Did you know that physically he's 5 years old and developmentally he's only 3, but experientially he's more like 25? Okay? You have no clue. A real good friend of ours. You know, she's married, has a family, was adopted, but she was picked up off the streets in another country, okay? She remembers that. What do you think that's like? You know, as a child, just running the streets. What goes on inside a little heart, okay? Well, and he has no clue how to react to all that has happened in his short life or her short life. You see, we need to be alert and aware. And you know, this is even good for us to even care for each other as brothers and sisters in the church. Okay, it really is, because you don't know. It's so easy for us to judge, so easy for us to talk about somebody else but we haven't walked in their shoes. And so we need to be really, really careful with that. You may have to deal with chemical scars, okay? Fetal substance abuse syndrome, alcohol, drugs, sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, these are things that children end up having to deal with. And if you're going to be an adoptive parent, you are going to probably run into, you very likely can run into some of these. Not everybody, but some. With our daughter, I didn't see that. Her mother was on the streets. Her mother later got her nursing degree and became a registered nurse and really made something out of her life. But when she was conceived and born, she was a street girl. Okay, and you never know what's there. But our daughter dealt with malnutrition as a child, and her hair didn't grow. And there were lots of physical things that we weren't aware of. She was actually considered hard to adopt because of her hypersensitivity. And you know what happened when she got good food to eat? And got loved on, disappeared. Yeah. You see, there's all kinds of things in people's lives that we have no clue. Okay, so you may have to deal with chemical scars, and those are real, and you're gonna need some outside help to deal with some of those things. You really will. Do not blame every behavior and behavioral problem on that. yeah, don't do that. Don't just say, well, hey, my child has, you know, don't use this as an excuse for their behavior. I think I put this up here. It's astounding what people say in their children's presence. You know, I've actually heard adoptive parents say, well, you know, she's adopted, and she has fetal alcohols in her or whatever. No, oh, my goodness. You don't do that. That child has feelings and emotions like you do. And just because they're a little person doesn't mean that they're insensitive. You're going to create scars and wounds that now they're going to spend the rest of their life fighting through. You know, it's, yeah. Don't use it as an excuse for their behavior. Don't go telling people about it. Now, if you need to address the situation, then there's people that you do need to talk about it to. And if you do need to talk about it to somebody within the fellowship or the community, you do it outside of your children's presence. You don't do it while they're present. Every child's different. Do your research and learn as much as possible. Do your homework. Find out what their story is if possible. I looked into my children's backgrounds as much as I possibly could. And you don't want to, one of the things you don't want to do is you do not want to withhold the information that your child is adopted. Years ago, that was real popular. People would adopt a child and they wouldn't tell them they're adopted until they'd find out about it much later. Well, how would you like to be 17 or 18 and find out you're adopted? Yeah, one of my wife's cousins, that was her, and she just went crazy. She just lost it because her parents didn't tell her the truth. Didn't say what happened. Okay. It's not okay. So do your research. Learn as much as possible. Consistent boundaries and schedules create security. My throat. Maybe water. Okay. But anyway, consistent boundaries and schedules create security. If you adopt a child, and just like our daughter, she came out of a difficult environment, and so in that difficult environment, her environment was changing, and there was no security to it. And then this is something we didn't realize right away. So we just were very active, very busy parents and very busy family, and so we were just running. We were going here, we were going there and everywhere else, and what she really needed was stability. Okay. And it wasn't that we couldn't take her places and go places, it's just that it's important to realize you might have to limit some of those things so that it's not overwhelming. This one really is big. Discipline for their good, not to make you look good. And that's across the board. It doesn't matter if it's your bio children or adopted children. Discipline for their good, not to make you look good. And discipline needs to be discipling. It needs to not be punishment. It needs to be caring for, and it needs to be, we did the teaching on the foundations for life. If you don't have belonging, love, and significance there, when you go to discipline, you're going to be punishing instead of disciplining. That's so important. Children need to know they belong, that they're loved, and they're valuable. And then when you discipline, it works. But if you do that without those three there, it's going to be punishment. Some of us have experienced that kind of parenting. We really have. And this goes sort of with the one above, limit unnecessary activities or stimulation at times. In other words, once again, a stable environment allows that little heart to rest, which maybe before it couldn't rest. It was just, there was just so much happening in its life and there was no stability. Always return to compassion. Always return to compassion. That's the number one word that God uses to describe himself and is used to describe Jesus. Men, we need to be men, strong men who show gentle compassion. Now, my brother Frank will be back, I think, even next week. I think Frank's coming back to teach. One of his expressions is, only strong men can afford to be gentle. I like that. So let's be gentle, strong, compassionate men. excuse me for the throat clearing. Most people, listen, this is another thing, and if you're adoptive parents or you're going to be adoptive parents, or even if you have adopted children and grandchildren, most people, when they ask questions, really do have good intentions. Most of them really do. Some are just curious, but be kind, but always be aware of your child's presence and heart. They're your first priority. What if your children are there, adopted children? What if they aren't the same coloration that you are? Okay, then the questions come, and these are just illustrations of questions that I have heard asked, and even in front of children, and this is unconscionable. You don't do these things. Are they siblings? Are they all yours? Maybe you got to ask that with your bio children, too. I don't know. Where did it come from? Oh, they came from the moon. They came back from the last trip to the moon, yeah. What race are your children? Okay, you don't do these things, okay? So don't ask those questions either, okay? Are they going to get darker? Oh, man. Give me a break. How could their parents not want them? You don't know their parents' environment. Yeah. Do you know what my daughter's mother said? She actually asked that her child would be placed in a Christian home. Okay? And we could tell her that. Your mom wanted you in a good environment. Okay? She talked to her biological brother later, and he says, Laura, you can be glad you were adopted. Okay. And you know, it's just, we weren't the perfect home. I've had to go back, and you've heard me share things like that. Okay, but you just don't ask those kind of questions. It's not okay. Now, give folks the benefit of the doubt until they've proven that their intentions are not good. But listen, if those questions start coming, you need to step in right away and say, you know what, we're not going to talk about that here. This is my daughter, this is my son, and God created them, and God brought our lives together, and we're just really grateful. So it's not, those questions don't need to be asked or answered. So I'm not going to be answering them. You can say those things very directly, and it's okay. In fact, I would say you must step in. You must. Respect your child's place of birth and family of origin. Okay, it's really important. Respect your child's place of birth and family of origin. Be honest. If they came from a family with big challenges, talk about it. Okay, every child has a story. You want to give them age-appropriate information. Some of the information they don't need to know. They don't need to know horror stories. But on the other hand, to withhold their story isn't healthy either. I really appreciate one family that we know well with their adopted children. Every child that they have adopted has a notebook, which is their story, that they actually write out the story. They put pictures in from all the ages, and we did that for our children too. They have books with pictures in that go from the littlest memories that we have all the way up to wherever they left our home. And so it's important. Every child has a story. Always be respectful. It's their source. How would you like to, hey, Eugene, where did you come from? Okay. And he's sitting there going, yeah. You see, how do you want people to ask you those questions? And yeah, how'd you turn out that way, coming from parents like that, huh? Okay, just. It might not be a pretty picture either. It's not a pretty picture either. Absolutely. So, just let's use some healthy common sense and deal with each other respectfully and accurately. And there's some things that just don't need to be asked, and some things don't need to be told. Protect your children. Protect your children. Never say or allow anyone else to say, you have it so good. You should be grateful you were adopted. Anybody hear that? Okay. Don't ever say that. Don't allow anybody else to say it. If you hear somebody say that to your child in front of you, say, no. That's not okay. No. You have no idea how they have it. Maybe their home, maybe the home that they were adopted into isn't healthy either. I don't know. It's just, but don't say those things. That's not okay. No. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I just love giving snappy and snarky comebacks, you know. And yeah, maybe it would have been better if you would have been adopted. Oh, never mind. Okay. No. Oh, did I say that? Hey, you're in this for the long haul. Adoption is difficult. If your child develops in ways you did not expect, you're still their parent. You don't give a child back, you know. Scars cause behaviors and emotions that are incredibly challenging. You need to know that before you sign on the dotted line. Okay? You got to be in it for the long haul. You would not return a child born to you with a severe disability. Don't expect to return a child from adoption who's emotionally scarred. You need to be prepared and ready for those things. If your child needs a level of support that you cannot provide by yourself, it's your responsibility to find the necessary resources and continue to support the child as a parent should. Okay? When you adopt a child, you listen to what the judge says. You're accepting full responsibility as a parent of a biological child. That is, you hear that. That's said. Yeah. That's my daughter in 1994. I think I told you a little bit of her story. She looks like she's laying there with her mouth hanging open. She's not. Her mouth is closed. Her jaw is closed. Remember me telling you about that? That she, her lower jaw never quit growing. And so she could close her mouth, her jaw, and she could stick her tongue out between her lower teeth and her upper teeth. You can see that, right? She looked grotesque. That was difficult. That's after she came out of surgery. The Sudbrink in Ephrata. I forget the older one that retired now. But we took her there. We took her to another dentist who was going to do the work, or an oral surgeon. And we were sitting in his office, and I noticed that his nose was very red and his cheeks were red. And we walked out of there, and I said, "Grace, that man is not working on our daughter. He's an alcoholic." And we found these people, and we were so grateful. They totally redid her face. They cut her upper jaw loose, moved it forward. They cut her lower jaw loose, moved it back. They cut her chin off and moved it front. And then, because your tongue doesn't quit growing when your lower jaw grows, they had to make her tongue smaller. They had to cut her tongue and shorten it. She had her jaws wired shut for several months. We fed, you know, Grace fed her with a syringe. That was a challenging time. Grace will tell you, when I saw her like that, I lost it. I mean, that was my princess. Yeah. Look what they did to her. But you know what? Today she's a beautiful girl. Okay. And you see, if there's birth defects and there's things that can be corrected, you want to do that. It wasn't for beauty. It was out of necessity. She couldn't chew anything hard, so she ate lots of mashed potatoes and pureed everything. Okay, even before the surgery, because she couldn't chew meat. She couldn't chew difficult things. You know, that we didn't ask for that, but you know what? We didn't groan and moan about it either. She was ours, and you know what? Insurance didn't want to cover that, and it wasn't cheap. You know, back in 1994, it was $15,000. What do you think that is today? I shouldn't even talk about that. But you know what? It just, you didn't cross your mind whether you're going to pay for it or not. You just, it's what was needed to be done. So forgive me, I'm just telling you, this is reality. Okay? If your child is not able to make a relationship with their birth family, they will fantasize about living with them. And the fantasy will look better than real life. Okay, can you hear that? The fantasy will look better than real life because they don't know. But children will fantasize, well, what would have it been like if I wasn't given up for adoption? Okay, and that can sting. That can hurt a bit. An 8-year-old adopted child said, "I like having a family," and she meant where she was adopted into. And then she goes, "I miss my birth mom." Okay, you see, these are real statements. This is real life. Don't take it as a threat. you'll add to their rejection if you take it as a threat. You just love on them and just say, yeah, I imagine you would miss your birth mom. But, she felt it was wise. And anyway, you come up with a healthy answer that doesn't damage who they are. That's a connection that you cannot replace. That's one of the things my son struggled with. He says, my mom gave me away. My mom rejected me. And that was one of the things. I read a book called 20 Things That Every Adopted Parent Should Know, and I took it out to my son. I was reading it because I thought, I really need to know this. And he was in his teens, and I said, Jaron, I'd like to ask you a question. I started reading down through these 20 things, and every one he kept saying, nope, 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 nope. Dad, what does she know? She was never not adopted. And so I go, well, that's pretty logical. And he says, that's not true. And then I came to identity. And he got quiet. He says, yeah. Struggle with that. What would have it been like? Okay. So you see, it's a connection that we can't replace. And don't feel it as a threat. It's just real. And then you care about that. You care about that. That fantasy gradually diminishes as you consistently love and care for them and care for their heart. Understand their story. They have one. What happened to them? Okay. Memories that are according to their age of adoption. I told you about what my daughter could remember. And those are real. So you want to understand their story and you want to care about them out of their story, yet in their story. Do not despise or look down on birth parents. That's who they are. They chose life. Consider their circumstances. What were they dealing with? Okay. Care about them and pray for them in your child's hearing. Pray for them in your child's hearing. Yeah. Protect your marriage. Wow. We've watched this create marriage problems. We've watched adoption create marriage problems. Don't allow triangulation. Okay, a child learns to go to mom and get one story, go to dad and get the other story. This is bio too, okay? And then they'll choose which one they like best, and then they'll play you against each other. That's called triangulation. You want trouble? Yeah. The best thing you can do is say, well, if they come to you and ask you for something, just simply say, well, have you asked mom? Yeah. What did she say? And you have your wife do the same thing because you don't want them. See, they know they're pretty sharp. They know how to play you against each other. Sure, don't do it. Dad and mom stay on the same page. Keep life fun, healthy humor. Okay, it's important to have a life without humor is pretty dull. Yeah, it really is. Keep on doing date nights. Okay. And then here's the key, knowledgeable babysitter. Don't just let your children stay with anybody, and don't just have anybody come and stay with your children. You need to know that they are safe people to be with. Perhaps another home that has foster care or adoption experience. All I can tell you is so much abuse happens under the care of babysitters or even by. And just you need to know who they are. You need to know who your children, I don't care if it's adoption or adopted or bio, you need to know where your children are staying overnight. We discovered that our children could not stay overnight. Well, it was our daughter mostly could not stay overnight in one of the church leaders' homes because it wasn't safe. Okay. Your responsibility as a dad, it's really important. The theme this year is dads connecting with their children, with their sons, with their daughters, and with their wives. The importance of dads is so huge. We need to know. We need to be their protector. And then if something does happen, we need to deal with it redemptively. Most of your friends and family will not fully grasp the maze of emotions involved in adoption. They won't understand it. Okay, it's not your job to educate everybody. It really isn't. Find and connect with people who do understand, and finding support, protect your child's story. Okay, once again, your child is your responsibility. Don't allow your family to tear down your children in a public way. to the best of your ability. What you write now, they will read when older. So be careful what you write. Write their story, but write it accurately. But realize that down the road, they're going to read what you write. So write carefully and intentionally and redemptively. God is enough, but he also provides resources outside our circles. I think it's so important to realize that if you have a situation with a child, whether it's bio or adopted, and it's outside of our ability to handle, there are resources that we can tap into, and you want to look into them. We could go down through a list of those, but we're dealing with a family that has two children who are very with Asperger's syndrome. There is help, and there's help that's being redemptive, and they're finding help, but they're finding it outside of our circles because there are people who are trained to know how to deal with those things. Go for help when you face difficult problems before you reach the end of your rope. Okay, many people wait until they're losing it, and then they cause more trouble. If your children or other family members have adopted children, be there for them or be quiet about your feelings. Okay, that's just my encouragement. Be there for them or be quiet about your feelings. Don't be running your family down because you might not agree. You might not agree, but their role is difficult enough without your criticism or rejection. If you have concerns, talk to the parents, not everyone else, and not the children. And without the children around, okay? And this is the end of our lesson here. He predestined us. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Don't know what your emotions and your feelings are on adoption, but you see, you couldn't be a child of God unless without him adopting you because of Jesus. We started out by saying, what are your thoughts on adoption? Is there anybody here? Let's see, we have a couple mics here that, there's Anthony and Nelson, and anybody have any comments that they would like to say? Raise your hand, they'll bring you a mic. Okay, we have one back along the wall here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to use the mics because people listening in so they can hear as well. Okay.
My wife was adopted, and my impression of being adopted is being wanted. Somebody wanted you, but that's not what she felt. Wow. She felt the rejection that her birth mother didn't want her. Well, when she was 16-month-old, she had wandered off and was found at a bus stop. And she was from a Native American family. And she sees now